Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And once again, we have no Joe. Our schedules were not able to mesh up. He had stuff to do on Thursday when we record. Personally, between you, me, and the lamppost, I think he just wanted to take August off. However, your previews order is due soon. And one of the services we provide is that we go through previews and point out things that are new, things that are interesting, things that we think you might be interested in. I don't have Joe with me, so it's just going to be me. But we are going to go through, when we do this, we do not point out every book that we buy. Because if we did that, it would be a 15-hour podcast. But we do point out the new stuff, the collected stuff, and things like that. This will be an abbreviated version because Joe's not with me. But I'm going to start by taking a look at previews. On the main cover, we have a new book by Simon Spurrier and Charlie Adlard. Charlie Adlard is the artist from Walking Dead. And I first saw his work when he was doing the X-Files series over at Tops. I enjoy his art. It's called Damn Them All. 72 devils are free. Only one person can send them back to hell. Introducing Bloody L, Occultist for Hire. It's from Boom Studios. On the back cover is the first of the books that I'm going to recommend, and that is Junkyard Joe. It is a series from Jeff Johns and Gary Frank, which is a new series at Image. Ties in with his series Geiger. I will buy anything Jeff Johns does. I think he's an excellent storyteller. And this is, when he was over at Marvel, he didn't really mesh with Marvel real well. I did not care much for his Avengers run, but his stuff at DC has always been excellent. And DC, for some reason, is letting him go to do his own stuff. I really liked Geiger. Junkyard Joe. Throughout history, unlikely and strange heroes have risen and fallen. There are identities and lives a secret. But for a great evil to be stopped, their stories must be told. They are the unnamed fighting the unknown war. From the explosive pages of Geiger comes Junkyard Joe. The world knows him as comic strip. As the comic strip by artist Muddy Davis, but the truth stretches back to the Vietnam War. There is also a black and white version, if you want Gary Frank's black and white art. And looking at the art, I think the art doesn't get covered up by the colors, but I can see why you would want a black and white version. They give a 5-page preview in previews, which I always like. Let's see, the next Image book that I am pointing out. Once again, with Image, they put all of their number ones and restarts, like if a series has been gone for a while, they put that in their front section, which I appreciate. I really appreciate that. In their collected editions, I would like to point out on page 67, Skybound presents After School Volume 1. I reviewed the first issue of this. It's a series of connected one-shots, and these are all of them connected. Morals have eroded. Your kids are out of control. Skybound's new horror anthology is going to teach these teens a lesson. This very special collection includes 4 standalone cautionary tales soaked in blood and tears, anxiety, teen pregnancy, behavioral disorders, groupthink. The world seems like a frightening place, and we're here to show you just how true that is. It's written by Justin Benson, Aaron Moorhead, Kate Herron, Bryony Redman, Jill Blotovogel, and Leon Hendricks, with art by Greg Hinkle, Giovanni Nero, Layla Lees, Marley Zaccone, and Eric Zawadzki. I really enjoyed the one-shot that I read, so I will be picking it up overall. And quite honestly, that is it for Image. They didn't have anything that jumped out at me other than that, and the regular series just continue the way the regular series are going. I do see that Stillwater by Zdarsky and Perez is back. So I'm happy that that series is back. Over in Boom, there is Damn Them All. I do not pick up a lot from Boom And when I do pick things up, I do pick them up in trade paperbacks. Damn Them All is a 6-issue miniseries. They do have some examples of special covers, one by Christian Ward, one by Sean Phillips, and one by Donnie. And then they have a few pages of the internal art. If you buy your comics as comics, you'll want to pick it up. But me, I will be picking it up as a trade paperback because, quite honestly, that's the way I read most of my comics now. And really, for Boom, that is it. Now we get to Dark Horse. And with Dark Horse, there are a few things that I want to point out. The first is that there is a new BRPD, which is the spinoff of Hellboy, which deals more with the agents of the group that he works for. This is the third omnibus. Mike Mignola does some writing. Guy Davis has most of the art. I enjoy these because, you know, it's 408 pages for $30. It basically collects two of the trade paperbacks in one big thick book. I fewer books I have, the less space they take up on the shelf. So there is that. I also want to point out that there was no EC volume again. It looks like that they're going to every other month with the EC volumes. Probably because they're getting near the end of the regular volumes, and now all they have left are the moving them into paperbacks. So I can see why they would want to switch over to the bi-monthly format. The EC volumes as trade paperbacks, you're getting a really nice package, same as the $50 hardcover, except it's a $20 paperback. EC comics are some of the best comics ever printed. I always recommend them. I always will recommend them. People have been asking me what should they get as kind of a sampler, as kind of a what is EC like. I would say either pick up Tales from the Crypt Archive Volume 1, because Tales from the Crypt is kind of their most well-known comic other than Mad, or Shock Suspense Stories Volume 1, which was kind of set up as a sampler, where they would have a horror story and a crime story and a suspense story and a science fiction story, and then maybe some other twist ending type story. Dynamite has their books coming out. There was nothing in here new from Dynamite that jumped out at me. Joe pointed out a number of the special things they had, such as an Elvira Mistress of the Dark Spectral Switchboard, which is, it's a Ouija board. He also pointed out the Metal Crypt cards, which are trading cards that are made out of metal. There are trade paperbacks for Vampirella, The Dynamite Years, Volumes 1 and 2, if you don't already have those. Their big thing lately is The Boys. They are pushing The Boys pretty hard because it is a highly successful show on Amazon. So if you don't have the omnibuses, go ahead and pick those up. I will warn you, they are Garth Ennis, so they are very adult-oriented. They are very violent and kind of nihilistic, which most companies, I'm not huge on the whole nihilism thing, but when it's a great writer such as Garth Ennis, it's much more palatable than if it's just somebody who wants to, well, what would we be like if superheroes killed people? Whereas Garth Ennis is much more nuanced than that. He does have the ultra violence, but he's going for specific satire. And now let's jump over to DC with DC Connect. I do want to point out they are doing a Riddler Year One, Paul Dano, Steven Subic, with covers by Bill Sienkiewicz. Really pretty art on that. I will be picking it up as a trade paperback or hardcover, but it's written by actor Paul Dano, who played the Riddler in the Batman movies. They're also continuing The One Bad Day. This month it's with Penguin, written by John Ridley and drawn by Giuseppe Caminosoli. I probably mispronounced that. these One Bad Day one-shots, they're going to be collected as a big series, so I'm looking forward to when they do that. But there is a series, a mini-series that I want to point out that I'm very excited about, and that is Gotham City Year One. It is written by Tom King, drawn by Phil Hester, looks to be amazing. There was once a shining city on the water, a home for families, hope, and prosperity. It was Gotham, and it was glorious. The story of its fall from grace, a legend that would birth the Bat, has remained untold for 80 years. That's about to change. This explains why Gotham City became the fictional hellhole that it is. And if it's Tom King, it's going to be good. I enjoy Tom King's writing. I know that he's kind of become controversial the past few years, but I find that I really enjoy his writing. I enjoy how he looks at things. And I did just read Love Everlasting, his Image book, and it really twisted things on its head and just fascinated me to where I have to have the next issue. Also, on page 30, it's DC's Terrors Through Time. October is here, which means it's time for Fables of Fear, time for Stories of Suspense, and time for Tales of Time. Join us in a terrifying tour across the ages of some of comics' top talent. Witness zombies menace the JSA in the 40s, experience the haunting of Gotham City sirens in the 90s, watch as Swamp Thing goes up against an irritated and irradiated monstrosity in the far future. It's written by Paul Levitz, Tim Seeley, Zach Thompson, Carla Pacheco, Jeremy Hahn, art by Peter Nguyen, Juan Doe, Kelly Jones, Andy McDonald. It's another one of the DC 80-page one-shots that is full of short stories. I enjoy these. I like the anthology format. DC, through the 60s and 70s and even into the 80s, was really good at these anthology books. I think this continues the tradition. It's also a good way to sample different creators, some of which have been around for a while, some of which are on the rise, so that you can see, you know, if somebody knocks it out of the park, you're going to want to look for their other stuff. And that's another reason why I like these anthology books. And really, for DC, that is about it. Their collected editions are still kind of puny. Oh, I do want to point out that the issue of Mad number 28 that is solicited is the official 70th anniversary issue. It does have some new work in it. But it's the official 70th anniversary issue. There's also, on page 42, a facsimile reprint of Superman number 1. $6.99 for the 64-page book. Joe really enjoys these facsimile editions. I like them. I don't go nuts for them. I do like them because it is kind of a, this is what the comic was like at the time with the ads and the editorial and everything like that. For collected editions, I want to point out one that I bought years ago, and it's finally getting a reprint, and that is the Sleeper Omnibus. This is the first time Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips got together, and they did a story set in the Wildstorm universe. Holden Carter, a double agent who is left out in the cold when his handler, John Lynch, falls into a coma. Now on his own, Holden must do what it takes to survive, to avoid detection from the organization he infiltrated, and survive with his soul intact. This reprints the entire series. It's a one mini series called Point Blank, then Sleeper Season 1, Sleeper Season 2, and then the tie-ins that wrap it all up. Also on that page is a trade paperback for One Star Squadron, which was by Mark Russell and Steve Lieber. I did not want to like this book when it came out because I thought that they were taking some of these characters like Red Tornado and Power Girl and cheapening them. And it's one thing with the Justice League where they kind of turned it into a sitcom, but it was more character-based humor and not making fun of them. And when I first saw stuff about One Star Squadron, it looked like they were making fun of them. They're not. It's a very well-done series. And Mark Russell's becoming one of the writers at both DC and Ahoy, where he's become an automatic buy. And that is it for DC. They only have the one omnibus, and it's an omnibus that I already have, so DC's saving me a little money. Which is good, because Marvel is not. In Marvel, on the cover is Spider-Man number 1 by Dan Slott and Mark Bagley. Mark Bagley has drawn more Spider-Man stories than any other human being alive or dead. Dan Slott wrote Spider-Man for 10 years. He went over to Fantastic Four, did that for 4 years. He's now back for Spider-Man. This is a regular series. When Dan Slott first announced it, I thought it was going to be a mini-series. It is not. It is a regular series, and they start off with the death of the Spider-Verse. On the back cover is the book that I'm going to be pointing out, and that is Miracle Man. Miracle Man has returned. They are starting with a zero issue, which is 56 pages, and has work from Neil Gaiman, Jason Aaron, Mike Carey, Ty Templeton, Peach Momoku, Mark Buckingham, Leno Francis Yu, and more. The cover is by Alan Davis, who drew some of the really early Miracle Man slash Marvel Man stories. This is kind of to get everybody up to speed on Miracle Man and sort of give a direction for where it's going. And then on the next page, the Silver Age begins again. They are going to complete the story by Gaiman and Buckingham, which was started way back. I think it was 89 when this thing started. And then Marvel published an issue and then stopped. And now these legendary creators are remastering the two published issues with brand new artwork and finishing their grand story at long last. Young Miracle Man, the lost member of the Miracle Man family, is back. His last memories were of a 1963 world of joy and innocence. Now he's been thrust into the 21st century, where his best friends have become gods and monsters. I am not picking this up till it's a trade paperback, because this would be the third time they've teased this book. Then there's Spider-Man number 1 with a boatload of special covers. If you have been reading The Edge of the Spider-Verse, that is sort of the primer for the end of the Spider-Verse story, where they are creating some new Spider-Man variants, different universes, and that's where it will all be set up. We also have the end of the Avengers, X-Men, Eternals, Judgment Day. Issue 6 is in this previews, as well as a bunch of tie-ins that wrap everything up. I don't think there was anything else in regular comics that jumped out. Oh, there were. There were a few. On page 20, Tomb of Dracula number 1 facsimile edition reprints the first issue of Tomb of Dracula, which, believe it or not, kind of wasn't connected too much to what came later. Like a lot of Marvel books, it started out Gary Conway, Gene Colan did the first issue. And then Gary left and Archie Goodwin did a couple issues. But then when Marv Wolfman took over, then it became the classic book that it is. However, this is the first issue. It goes for a lot of money. You could get a facsimile edition. And below that is a trade paperback of Bloodstone and the Legion of Monsters. Bloodstone was one of those characters that Marvel kind of created in the 70s. I was going to put in a book, and then they kind of collapsed their publishing schedule. There were a bunch of characters like that. The Scarecrow showed up in an issue of Dead of Night, and then an issue of Marvel Spotlight, and then had his story wrapped up in Marvel 2-in-1. So there were a number of these characters, and Bloodstone was one of them. He was going to get his own book, but instead he ended up in Marvel Presents number 1 and 2. This reprints those stories, all of the Legion of Monsters stories that tie into it, and set up the new character of Bloodstone, who is the daughter of the original Bloodstone, who is a timeless, immortal monster hunter. And it's one of those characters that they have tried a couple of times to get a series going. I find the character interesting, but obviously I'm one of the few who do. But this is a trade paperback that reprints all of the appearances, including those from Rampaging Hulk, Marvel Presents, Legion of Monsters 1 through 4, Astonishing Tales, etc., etc. Gathers it all up together. Then on the next page, Marvel's doing a horror theme one-shot, Crypt of Shadows. The heroes of the Marvel Universe spend most of their time in the bright sun, flying high above it all. But every once in a while, they venture into the darkness that lurks in the hidden corners of the world. There lurk the creatures, the monsters, the vampires, those who prey on innocence and goodness. Join us and some of your favorite heroes for tales of fangs, claws, and silent stalking swamp creatures to celebrate All Hallows' Eve. On the cover, they've got Bloodstone, Wolverine, Moon Knight, looks like Werewolf by Night, and Man-Thing. Again, I like one-shots that are anthology books. If it's great, cool, we got a nice one-shot comic. If it's bad, well, it's only one issue, right? Oh, I do want to point out that X-Men Legends number 3, after the first two issues were by Roy Thomas, and I've read the first issue, excellent Wolverine story. This issue is by Ann Nesenti and Javier Pena, and it continues with an all-new story set after the original Longshot miniseries. And Longshot was one of those things that I remember that miniseries came out, and it was super, super hot. And part of it, you know, just part of it was the Art Adams art. But part of it was that people really wanted more to know about the character. And over time, the character just kind of became one of the X-Men. And I really liked it because Ann Nesenti's version of the character was so different from any other Marvel character at the time that it read differently. It felt different. It read different. It was really enjoyable. I don't know if she's going to be able to capture that lightning in a bottle again, but if she can, I am there for it. I think that is it for new books. Gonna double check here. Yep, that is it for new books. So let's go to where all my money's going. The Trades and Omnibuses. Omnibus number 1, Fantastic Four by Miller and Hitch. After J. Michael Straczynski and before Jonathan Hickman, Mark Miller and Brian Hitch did a run on the Fantastic Four. And this came right after their run on the Ultimates. And there are a lot of very cool ideas that they put in here. A lot of big ideas, and Brian Hitch's art was just phenomenally good. I'm kind of surprised that this run wasn't loved more than it is, but it's finally getting a complete omnibus, which is Fantastic Four 544 to 569, Annual 32, Fantastic Force 1 through 4, and Marvel 1985 1 through 6. They are reprinting the Guardians of the Galaxy Omnibus by Brian Michael Bendis. They do a lot of Omnibus reprints, by the way. There is a third Thunderbolts Omnibus, which pretty much wraps up the Fabian Nyasasia stuff and the Kurt Busiek stuff. This reprints, let's see here, Thunderbolts 64 to 75 and then 100 to 109, which with Thunderbolts 75, they kind of closed the series and started it as a completely different book. That did not go well, so they went back to the original format. It also has Avengers Thunderbolts 1 through 6, New Thunderbolts 1 through 18, and Thunderbolts presents Zemo Born Better. On the next page is the Mark Spector Moon Knight Omnibus. This reprints the late 80s, early 90s series that was done by Chuck Dixon, Howard Mackey, JMD Matias, and anybody else who was hanging around in the office. They wanted to bring back Moon Knight. I think Chuck Dixon got the assignment because he was kind of the go-to guy for, trying to think of the best way to put this, sort of street-level heroes. And his stuff was okay. He didn't delve into either the Doug Mensch version, which is Moon Knight had these different identities he would use to find out information in different areas, or the later version where Moon Knight is batshit crazy. These are solid adventure stories. It's got Moon Knight 1 through 34, the Amazing Spider-Man tie-in, the Moon Knight one-shot, and then the Punisher annual where he fought with the Punisher. On the next page is Incredible Hulk by Peter David, Omnibus 5. What this is all the Incredible Hulk stuff Peter David has done after he left the series, including one-shots, mini-series, tie-ins. It's even got the new Fantastic Four mini-series that hasn't even wrapped up yet. This is all in this book. Sort of an odds and ends. Every time Peter David was asked, hey, do you have another Hulk story? And with five omnibuses by Peter David, that's a lot of Hulk stuff by Peter David. The next page is the Nova Omnibus. This reprints the Nova series from the 70s. One of the heroes that I really enjoyed because I was there when he started, 1976. This has Nova 1 through 25, the entire series. The Spider-Man tie-in, the Defenders tie-in, the Fantastic Four story that wrapped up the story that Marv Wolfman had started at the end of Nova, which led to this big galactic war. It's pretty much everything leading up to Nova showing up in New Warriors. I always liked Nova because he wasn't the smartest guy. He was just kind of an average guy who'd gotten superpowers. And yes, it's incredibly derivative of Green Lantern, but so what? They were fun stories, and it was kind of Marvel saying, okay, Spider-Man's grown up, all of these characters have grown up, we need new sort of teenage heroes for teenagers who are reading comics to latch on to. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. Thought it was a fun series at the time. I've gone back and read it. It takes a step down when Carmine Infantino comes onto the book in the mid-teens, and Marv Wolfman tends to stray from that. He's just an average teenager into more science fiction-y stuff. There's even a tie-in with his Tomb of Dracula, which didn't seem to fit at the time and still doesn't fit now. But it's a good, solid series. I enjoy it. If you like it, here it is. I don't know if they're ever going to do a epic collection, but I know that they did do a limited essential collection that just had the Nova issues. There is another reprint, The Avengers by Jonathan Hickman, Volume 2, which takes us up to Secret Wars. Below that is a Planet Hulk reprint, which reprints the entire Planet Hulk storyline. Then there is the Spider-Man vs. Venom omnibus with a new printing. So that's, what, four? Four reprinted omnibuses. Omnibuses are making a lot of money for Marvel. If there's any omnibus out there that you don't have and you're looking for, just wait. Marvel's probably going to reprint it. Do not pay the highly inflated prices. And that's it for the omnibuses. The X-Men reprints, they are still on Trials of X. This is Volume 2. This is the second part of the Trial of Magneto and the stories that tie in with that. Marvel Masterworks, they've gotten up to Volume 16 on Invincible Iron Man. Because there's a Black Panther movie coming out in November. Did you know that? They reprint all sorts of Black Panther stuff, including all of the epic collections. And there's also a huge list here on page 84 of all the Black Panther stuff that's available. On page 87 is the Treasury-sized reprint of Moon Knight, Black, White, and Blood. I get the Treasury reprints of these Black, White, and Blood miniseries because it really showcases the art, brings it up to a larger size, and a lot of the artists like the fact that they get to just work with monocolor. They have black and white, and they can use red. And they use that to very good effect, but they also, hey, if your art's being reprinted in black and white, you've really got to put a little extra effort in because the color's not going to be able to cover up any sort of sins or mistakes or failures. And I think that was... Oh, the Epic Collections. We have the Epic Collection, The Return of Tony Stark, which reprints Iron Man 290 to 297, and then all sorts of other stuff. This is basically after Iron Man is dead again. Tony Stark reclaims the Iron Mantle, but being dead has taken a toll on his body. I think this is before they killed him and made him into Teen Tony. So how many times has Tony Stark died? We also have a reprint of the first Iron Fist. I think it's the only Iron Fist Epic Collection so far. So that's all of the Iron Fist stuff, the Larry Hama stuff. But what most people are going to want are the Chris Claremont, John Byrne stuff before they took over the X-Men. Over in the X-Men, they have an Epic Collection, which pretty much is all taken up by the Executioner's Song. It has the entire team up in it. From Uncanny X-Men, X-Men, X-Factor, and X-Force. Pretty much that's all that's in this 520-page book. And the Marvel Masterwork, they're doing those Marvel Masterworks at the smaller size that are mostly aimed at the Scholastic book crowd, but you can still get them through your comic shop. This one is the Submariner, which is Submariner number 70 through Daredevil number 7, and then the Submariner stories from Tales to Astonish, number 70 through number 80. I got to be honest, I read these recently, like within the last 2 years. They're really, really repetitive. They really did not know what to do with Submariner other than he's either having to fight to get his kingdom back or he's mad at the surface world and he's going to attack it. And Submariner, not really a pleasant character. So they're very, very samey. They probably worked much better if they were coming out once a month. But when you read a bunch of them in a row, they just don't work. So take that with the aforementioned grain of salt. Let's see here. Going to hit the rest of previews. I do want to point out, on page 221, they have the EC comics that are still available from, well, they were printed by Russ Cochran. However, Russ Cochran has passed away. So I don't know if these are through Gemstone or through Diamond themselves, but this is all the stuff that Russ Cochran was able to print before Dark Horse took over. So you do have Crime Suspense Stories number 1, Shock Suspense Stories volume 2, Two-Fisted Tales volumes 1 and 2, Weird Science volumes 1 and 2. But the thing I want to point out, the EC Picto Fiction complete set, that's the box set with the, let's see, Shock Illustrated, Terror Illustrated, Crime Illustrated, and Confession Illustrated. So it's 4 volumes, all of which have unfinished stories, including some unfinished stories, which we're going to have art by Frank Frazetta. Box set, I have seen this box set on sale on eBay for over $400. I've seen it in comic shops for around $300. You can still order it and get it at the cover price of $150. Yes, that's a lot of money, but the box sets are beautifully bound. They have meticulous reproduction, including new plates struck from the original art. One of the things that William Gaines did, he kept all the original art. And when Russ Cochran put together the deal to do the EC sets, they were struck from new plates from the original art on this special acid-free paper with hand-stitch binding, and then Gaines sold off the EC art as complete issues. It was individual creators who broke them up by story and then broke them up by individual pages, but he did not release any of the original art until the EC hardcover box library volumes were done. So these are still available. Do not pay crazy prices. You could still order them from Diamond. I think I'm going to double check here. Oh, there is a Marvel novel on page 222, Prisoners of Tartarus. A hero has fallen, deprived of the mystical Gargerhorn, his enchanted sword Holfund, his winged sword, and even his memory. Heimdall flees across the underworld, is captured. This is by Richard Lee Bayers. I have really enjoyed the Marvel novels. They don't play a part in continuity. Sometimes they do adaptations of the famous stories, like the what was that one? Phoenix story. I'm going to sneeze, sorry. But the original novels have been very well done. I enjoy them a lot. Let's see, they've got Sisters of Sorcery, which is Clea and others in a novel. And then the novel that'll be out next month is Sound of Light, which is Dazzler, Rock and Roll, and the Children of Cyclops and Magneto launch into space and beyond. I've enjoyed the Marvel novels. I like tie-in novels. And the reason I like a tie-in novel is because they're an easy read. A Star Trek novel, when it's done well, it's just a nice, entertaining read with characters you know. You put them through the paces, and they get a little deeper into their heads, because that's what happens when you have a novel rather than a TV show or a comic. And they're doing very good work on the Marvel novels. They're picking out authors who have good ideas and really, really well put together prose. They read fast. They're a lot of fun to read. Let's see what is next here. Normally, this is where Joe jumps in a bunch of stuff. One thing I remember he wanted to point out was the return of Chilling Adventures in Sorcery from Archie. It is a 32-page one-shot. Madam Satan escaped hell as a fugitive and hated women by Satan. A fugitive and hated woman by Satan and his thralls. She's now a principal at Baxter High, and hell has come to earth. With each classroom acting as a portal to a different circle of hell, Madam Satan must recruit similar tortured souls if she has any chance of survival, all leading up to a Madam Satan and her army versus Satan. Chilling Adventures in Sorcery. I have to really wait on the Archie horror stuff because so much of it is just left undone. They never do it. They do have three books. See Chilling Adventures of Salem, who is Sabrina's cat, Chilling Adventures of Sorcery, and then Fear in the Funhouse, all to come out in October, hopefully, unless things fall apart, etc., etc., etc. Also, I want to point out again, Avatar Press, it really feels like they're clearing out the warehouse. Now their trade paperbacks are $2.99 each. So the ones I want to point out are Alan Moore's Light of Thy Covenant, Light of Thy Countenance. And what this is a short story that was written by Alan Moore, and then the people at Avatar adapted it into a comic. There is Do Anything by Warren Ellis, which was a column he did on a comic book webpage about creativity. Excellent, excellent information there. I really like it. Even though it is out of date for the comics industry, it does have a lot of really good information for creativity and finding ideas. There's a lot of crossed stuff. I find Cross to be really disturbing and not in a, ooh, horror way, but more in a, that's creepy and wrong way. On page 278, Illumination, stories by Alan Moore in his first ever short story collection, which spans 40 years of work. It's Alan Moore's short stories all gathered together in one book. I like Alan Moore's prose. Not everyone does. I remember when Visions of the Fire came out, it was a rough read, but well worth it. Jerusalem is a book that I have not completely made it through yet. Again, it is not an easy read, but it is a very deep, rich and rewarding book, and I look forward to his short stories because he's really good at short stories. He got his start in short stories over on 2000 AD, and when you get your start in short stories, it's a skill that you should never lose, and the few short stories of his I've read, I've enjoyed. When we get to Fantagraphics, there are a couple of books that I want to point out. The first one is Home to Stay, the complete Ray Bradbury EC stories. This reprints all of the adaptations EC did of Ray Bradbury's stories. And I told this story on the episode that fell apart and we weren't recording. The way this started, William Gaines would just read prolifically. He was on diet pills. And in the 50s, diet pills were basically Benzedrine. He was on speed. So he couldn't sleep. So he would stay up late at night listening to radio horror shows and reading pulp magazines and other magazines and tons of short stories. And he would write down on index cards ideas he would call springboards, which was basically he would steal parts of an idea from a story, give it to Al Feldstein. Al Feldstein would flesh it out, write it up, give it to an artist, and one of the stories they did was pretty much lifted completely from a Ray Bradbury story. Ray Bradbury then sent a very kind note saying, I see that you adapted these two short stories, but you forgot to send me the check for $50, 25 bucks a story. Could you please do that? Which is the nicest way in the world of saying you're ripping me off and you owe me money. Gaines leapt on this, sent him a check as well as a note saying, hey, can we adapt more of your stuff? Ray Bradbury said yes. They are some of the most fantastic stories by EC. Most of them showed up in Weird Science and Weird Fantasy, but some of them showed up in the horror books. And this is a hardcover, 328 pages, beautifully put together, black and white with some color, has all of the EC Ray Bradbury stories, many of which were by Wally Wood, who would knock it out of the park on all of them. Ah, it was just so good. There is also a new Pogo collection, Volume 8. If you're buying the Pogo stuff, that you need to order that. And if you're not buying the Pogo stuff, why not? Some of the greatest comics ever made. They also have new printings of Walt Disney, Uncle Scrooge, and Donald Duck, Bear Mountain Tales by Carl Barks, Don Rosa. 260 pages. A standalone collection of Scrooge McDuck's amazing comic adventures sees Scrooge and Donald return to the site of their first meeting. This special single-size volume edition collects Return to Bear Mountain, in which Uncle Scrooge engages in a gambit with nasty gnomes, Don Rosa's richest duck in the world, which features Donald's first visit to the fabled money bin. There's a crash course with Launchpad McQuack in New Year's Days, an unforgettable batch of birthday stories, and Winter Adventures is here. Really nice book. I like what Fantagraphics is doing with the Don Rosa stuff and the Carl Barks stuff. I think the Carl Barks stuff should always be in print, and I just wish it was in a cheaper format so the kids could get it. Let's see. On page On page 309, Hayao Miyazaki, legendary animator, comes a new manga classic about a prince on a quest for a golden grain that would save his land, never before published in English. They also have a new version of Scott McCloud's The Sculptor. If you have not read it, you should. Everything Scott McCloud does, from Zot to the new adventures of Abraham Lincoln to understanding comics. I wish he was doing more work, but when we do get work from him, it's always incredible and always well worth your money. Then go to page 318. I have that dog-eared because Heavy Metal is there. Heavy Metal's up to issue 322. But on the page next to it, page 319, is Nukem Classic Cold War Comics Celebrating the End of the World. This is a reprint of all sorts of nuclear destruction. Nuclear destruction. See here, back in the 50s during the Cold War, every day beckoned with the possibility of the end of the world. Kids grew up in the shadow of bomb shelters and were treated to daily lessons at school on what to do in the event of a nuclear attack. This reprints the complete run of Atomic War, World War III, and can be read as simple adventure stories, classic war comics, or as an eerie, unanticipated commentary on the feeling of being under the nuclear, in the nuclear shadow. I was talking with a coworker of mine about it. They actually asked, what was it like as a kid when you would have nuclear drills and everything? And I said, I got in so much trouble in third grade because my dad had been in the Air Force. I read constantly. I read everything I could get my hands on. And I had read up on what actually happens with the nuclear war. So when the teacher was like, okay, we're going to have our atomic bomb drill. When I say that you see the flash, you're supposed to get under your desk and cover your head. And then if there's time, you know, and then when I say that the air raid siren is going off, we're to go to the basement, and we were to line up in the hallway, same as if it was a tornado warning, except when we saw the flash, we were to file into, there was a room that was a fallout shelter. And when she said, okay, there's the flash, and I didn't get under the desk. And the teacher's, Corey, why aren't you getting under the desk? And I said, well, first off, if we see a nuclear flash, we're already dead. Scaring all the other kids, of course. And the teacher, oh, no, that's not true. And I said, yes, if you could see a nuclear flash, that means the bomb's within a certain, and then the shockwave is going to come and it will destroy the school. Second, we're in Smithfield, Illinois. We're a town of 250 people. They're not going to bomb us. They're going to bomb New York and L.A. And well, we have train tracks. Big deal. Needless to say, the teacher did not appreciate me. They didn't appreciate a lot of what I brought into the classroom because most of our books were from the 50s. There I was as a kid, causing trouble, being a pain in the butt. And really, we're getting near the end of the stuff that I would pick up. I do want to point out the PS Art Books, which is a company, I've talked about them a lot over the years. They reprint public domain stuff. If you go back to our last episode, where I talk about public domain comics, anything that they publish, you could get from Comic Book Plus. And in many cases, they're just downloading the scans from Comic Book Plus and printing them. So anything that they have that they're printing is public domain. So if you want it, you can go ahead and just download it from there. I recently downloaded Psycho, which was one of the Skywald publications. And other than some paintings and some reprints of stuff from the 40s, oh, they're awful. They're just awful. And when you read stuff like that, you can see why the black and white comics, the black and white magazines that were put out from Warren and Marvel just didn't last too long because it was, oh my gosh, these are terrible. and you'd pick it up and probably feel the same thing. I do want to point out, over on page 406, Titan Books is putting out a novelization of Original Sin, which was the 2014 crossover that had to do, you know, basically it was the summer crossover, but it also kicked off a huge Thor story where Thor was unworthy. I liked Original Sin. It did not do very well at the time when it came out, but I really liked Original Sin. I thought it was a well-done crossover, and there were a lot of cool ideas in it. Two Morrows, my favorite publisher. Alter Ego 179 is about the 61st anniversary of the Fantastic Four, because we kind of blew past the 60th, so it's a salute to Stan Lee's 100th birthday. They talk about a spotlight on George Klein, who inked Fantastic Four 1 and 2. Spotlight on the Submariner in the Bowery. Sensational Secrets behind Fantastic Four issues number 1 and issue number 3. Comic Book Creator has a long article about Don McGregor, so you know I'm going to be all over that. And then the Jack Kirby Collector, number 85, is the Kirby Animated, detailing how Kirby and his concepts leapt from celluloid to paper and back again, from his 30 start on Popeye and Betty Boop, to his work being used on the 1960s Marvel superhero show, to his work for Ruby Spears on things like Super Friends, Super Powers, Scooby-Doo, Thundar the Barbarian. There was also, if you're a Mystery Science Theater 3000 fan, the new season, which is in the Gizmoplex, and you have to subscribe, but they do have Dr. Mordred, which was going to be a Doctor Strange movie, but it took so long for them to get it together that they lost the rights to Doctor Strange, but they decided to make it anyway, and boy, you could tell. But Jack Kirby did a lot of character creation and a lot of visual work that does not show up anywhere in the movie, but he was paid for it, so good for him. And I believe that is it. Yes, I do have the Vamprelis Carmella on page 431, which is the black and white magazine from Warrant Publication. Oh, I do want to point out on page 438, there's a new book from Will Murray, a new spider novel, which is The Wild Adventures of the Spider, Scourge of the Scorpion. The spider teams up again with the Skull Killer. I'm sorry. The spider teams upon with the Skull Killer to battle the scorpion to the death. But whose death? Will Murray, one of my favorite writers of pulpy stories. He wrote the Destroyer novels for years. He's written Doc Savage novels. He's written spider novels. He's written shadow novels. He's writing Tarzan novels. He really understands the pulp aesthetic and is able to do some really, really great stuff with those books. And I believe, yep, that is it for me. So there you go. There's some hints and ideas for what to add to your comic pull list. I do not have Freaking and Geeking this week because I do have to get this out and turn it around so quick because Joe and I weren't able to get together. But I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for downloading. As we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Hit my music. What you got for me?
down, bitches!